Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. Missed being here last week. And next week, we've got little Sophie coming up, and she's going to be dedicated, isn't she? And so we're looking very much forward to that. And part of our service of thanksgiving for the Queen. So I hope you're all in good heart. Some of you are not sure. I hope you're in good heart. I hope you're in good spirit, because, you know, we're in this little series that's based on the book of Ruth, and we've entitled it Chased by Grace, because God is not out to get us, you know, to harm us, to hurt us. God is out to bless us and encourage us and lift us and nurture us. And that's where we want to pick up our story again this morning. And some parts of the Bible, if you read it, you can read one chapter and years can go by in one chapter. You know, you can imagine that, can't you? You know, imagine me speaking for the next few minutes. Years can go by, can't it? And in one chapter of the Bible, sometimes years go by. But in this particular chapter of the Bible, Ruth chapter 2, which we've started to look at, it all takes place in one day. One day. And I was thinking, what a difference a day makes. Have you ever noticed that? Yes, Sean, you have, I know. And if you haven't, look at the recent HSBC advert on the television, because they actually sing that particular song. You know, what a difference a day makes. But imagine it, Moses one day gets up as a shepherd. And by the time he goes to bed that night, he's a prophet, because he's heard the voice of God. Imagine one day David is asked to be the pizza delivery boy for his brothers who are in Saul's army. And by the end of the day, he's a national hero and a giant killer. It's incredible, isn't it? One day Jesus comes along and asks Peter if he can use his boat as a pulpit. And by the end of that day, Peter has left everything to follow him as his Lord. It's amazing. Isn't it the difference that one day can make? Some of you may have heard of this particular fella, Harry S. Truman. He's famous for saying, "I had hurried to the White House to see the president, and when I got there, I found out I was the president." Because on transit, the previous one, Franklin D. Roosevelt, had died. What a difference a day can make. You ever had a day like that? A day that started off one way and finished in a completely different way to how you might have imagined it to be. Think of Carl and Hannah on Wednesday. Carl Browning, Hannah Sweeten came into this church 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, two sad single people. By the time I finished with them, they walked out of here a very happy married couple. You ever had a day like that? It's fantastic, isn't it? What a difference a day can make in our lives. One minute we can think our life is falling apart, and the next minute we find that we were stressing over nothing at all. One day it appears there's no hope for our situation, and the next, we look around and we wonder where the problem went. You ever had a day like that? What a difference a day can make. A day that started off empty can end up full. A day that started off with us worrying can end up with us worshipping. A day that kicked off for us, as it kicked off for Ruth here and Naomi, with little, can finish up with lots. How is that possible? When we let our heavenly Boaz come and take his place in our lives, feed the need of our situation, and bless us with what only he is resourced to bless us with. And don't we want to be blessed? That's why next week we're going to bless little Sophia, aren't we? Doesn't she deserve to be blessed? Oh, they don't sound that keen, do they? Hey? I tell you, by next week, they're going to be ready to bless. You know, we all want to be blessed, but the point of being blessed, as we're going to discover this morning, is that we're not blessed simply because God wants to bless us. Actually, we're blessed in order to be a blessing. That's why God would bless us. That's why it's not wrong to pray, Lord, bless me, if at the heart of that prayer is the desire that through me, in being blessed, I can be a blessing. Isn't that marvellous? I encourage you to turn to the person at the end of the service and just remind them that you've been blessed to be a blessing. And that's what we're going to think about this morning as we discover in this passage how it's possible to be blessed in order to be a blessing. Because if you look at verse 18, you'll see that we're told there that Ruth carried it all. All that she'd been blessed with in the field of Boaz, all that she'd been given through his grace towards her, we're told that she carried it back to town and to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Blessed to be a blessing. You've got to get it in order to give it. But what a joy of ministry it is. And how is it possible? Let me just underline a few things for you here this morning. How you can be blessed to be a blessing. Well, first of all, it's an obvious thing to say, but we can miss the greatest thing of all. That we're blessed to be a blessing as we enjoy the Master's presence. The question came to Ruth from Naomi when she gets back home at the end of the day with all that God has blessed her with through Boaz. And she says, where? Underline that. Where did you glean today? Where did you work? That's what Naomi wanted to know. But what is it that Ruth answers? She says, the name of the man I worked with. The name of the man I worked with. That's the key here. His name is Boaz. Now, we already have the inside story on this relationship that's beginning to take shape and that Ruth was going to be blessed with. And through her being blessed with, ultimately, as we glory in that fact, we're all blessed with because Ruth would be the mother of one that would eventually be the father of David. And through David's line, who would come? The Lord Jesus himself. The Master whose presence we need to know. Here was Ruth, not just enduring the man's privilege. She was enjoying this man's presence. She wasn't just out in the field picking up leftovers. She was seen to be sitting at his side listening to what he had to say. Do you remember the way that Paul expressed the passion in the heart of his life in Philippians 3 verse 10? That I may know him. That I may know him. I wonder this morning, are you enjoying the presence of the Master? If you want to be blessed to be a blessing, that's something that God wants for us all. And yet it's something that so often can be left out of our lives. If you look back at verse 14, it's interesting, we're told that at mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, come over here, have some bread, dip it in the wine vinegar. And he offered her some roasted grain. And we're told she ate all she wanted and had some left over. Isn't that great? In other words, she was fully satisfied having been in the presence of Boaz, her master. Isn't that the way that God should satisfy us with his presence? So often we look to the provision that he wants to give us and we miss the very joy of the presence that he ought to be to us. Wonderful to spend time with somebody you love, isn't it? One of the joys of last week when I was away was having a few days just to be with my son. Beautiful just to have my son and myself together. But that doesn't even come close to the time that we can take to spend with our master. Because he wants true fellowship with us. That's why we get the phrase roasted grain. Because this was the food of Canaan. You remember when God brought his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of sin. into Canaan. They went through the wilderness, which is where a lot of us end up living our Christian lives, relying on manna, which is sufficient, but it's never satisfying. And God eventually wants to get us out of Egypt, but into Canaan, into victory, into life, into blessing, into fulfillment. And the land of Canaan was the land of roasted grain. And on the very day after Passover, when they celebrated the newness of the life that God had given to them, the people of God in that new land ate this new food, roasted grain. The land of fellowship with the Lord. The land of victory in the Lord. Folks, who wants to live on desert rations when you can eat of the produce of the land and of the field that God has opened for us in and through the death and resurrection of our Boaz, Jesus Christ? Who doesn't want to spend time in his presence? If you want to be a blessing in your home and in your work and in your community, then you need to enjoy the food of that fellowship and victory with the Lord. I pray that by the end of this day, it might be something that we're able to do. But there's something else here. It's not just that we're blessed to be a blessing through enjoying the Master's presence. We're blessed to be a blessing by revealing the Master's prophet. So we're told in verse 18, if you look at it there in the Bible, that yes, Ruth carried it, the blessing and the grain, everything that had been given to her through Boaz, back to town to her mother-in-law. And then what? She saw. Her mother-in-law saw. It was revealed to her what? How much she had gathered. I mean, she had her arms full. Have you ever been in that situation where you can't miss what somebody else has been blessed with? When they're actually loaded down with very things that you might want? You know, when I was a young boy, we went on a holiday once to Weymouth. We often went there or to the Isle of Wight. You know, you didn't need a plane. Didn't need a passport. And my little brother, he would have been about 10, I guess. You know, you'll have to ask Mum, she's got a better memory than me. He'd have been about 10. He went into one of these slot machine arcades, you know, on the front of Weymouth. You would never have been in there, of course. None of you would ever have been in there, of course. And I'm not here to put temptation before you. I'm just here to tell you a tale, okay? You can pray for forgiveness afterwards for me, but this is it. He went into one of these slot machine arcades, and he came out screaming his head on. Off, he said, they're giving it away in there. They're giving it away in there. What he'd done is he put this penny in, you know, on one of these one-armed bandits, and he'd hit the jackpot. 10-year-old boy, he's coming. He's got his pockets full of money. He's got his beach hat full of money. You know, he's holding everything that he can. And everybody on Weymouth Beach knew that he'd hit the jackpot. When we examined it further, he had hit the jackpot. But he was a crafty little monkey, my brother, because we went back in to see how he'd won it, and it was one of these, you know, what do they call it, one-armed bandits, and you had the three wheels, you know, if you lined up the three cherries, you hit it, you know. Again, I've got to explain this because none of you have ever done it, I understand that. But the two cherries lined up, but the last wheel was not set right. And he figured out that as it was slowing down, if he gave the little handle a jot, it would stop exactly where he wanted it to stop. He was getting loaded. And, you know, it was great to see him coming out with all this provision and all this excitement. And when I thought of this story here, that's what I thought of. Ruth coming back with so much more than could have been anticipated when she went off first thing in the morning. And Naomi looking at this wide-eyed and thinking, whoa. You know, what a Tesco's giving it away? No, the provision of Boaz has made this possible. And the point is this, that what the Master had provided for her prophet, she could not hide. When you've been in the Master's presence, when you've come under the joy of his provision, can you hide it? Can you hide it? They ought to be wiping the smile off our faces. We can't hide it when we've been with the Lord. We can't hide what he's done in our life. It ought to be visible. Ought it not? There ought to be some evidence that I've been with the Lord. Don't you think? Remember when Moses came down the mountain? 40 days he'd been up the mountain with God. And when he came down, it was so evident he'd been with God, they had to put a bag over his head to hide the glow. Partly from Moses' point of view, because he didn't want the people to see it when it went. Do you remember Peter and John, who courageously preached the good news of the risen Saviour and were taken to task about it by the religious leaders of their day? And yet they recognised, as you read it in Acts 4, that these men were unschooled, and yet they were courageous. And listen, they took note. They took note. What? That they had been with Jesus. People take note that I've been with Jesus when I've just missed that 16-inch putt. By the way, pray for the teams that are going out to play in the Southern Baptist Day tomorrow. Okay? Just pray that we honour the Lord. Don't pray that we win. Okay? Some prayers have already been answered. No, I'm not saying that. Don't pray that we win. Just pray that we're honour God out on the golf course. That is evidence we're more excited about him than, you know, getting a good shot in. Be that we can be a witness. But it ought to show, don't you think? Do you know why David was called into Saul's presence? When he went through one of those bad episodes and the evil spirit came upon him. It wasn't just because he could play a good harp, but he could. It wasn't just because he was a wonderful, gifted, handsome boy, which he was. It's because the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel, the Lord was with him. Folks, do you want to be a blessing? Then in order to be a blessing, you've got to be blessed. But once you've been blessed, you're equipped to be a blessing. And the revelation of that ought to be obvious in each and every one of our lives, no matter the situation that we're in at any given time. Peter tells us, remember from our studies in Peter, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God that you may declare. That you may declare. The words there in English literally mean that you're an advertisement for the very things of God that will allow people to praise him, that he's brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We're a billboard for Jesus Christ. I wonder if the message gets across. I encourage you to be a Ron Seal believer of Jesus Christ. May you do exactly what it says on the tin. Amen. Thirdly, we're nearly through. If you're going to be blessed to be a blessing, you need to enjoy the Master's presence. You need to reveal the Master's prophet. But here's the heart of it, remember? And again, sometimes it's so simple that we can miss it. We are to share the Master's provision. We've been blessed to be a blessing. We are not to store, we are to share. What we have, people need. And it's marvelous, isn't it, how when Ruth gets back home, we're told that she also brought out and gave Naomi what she had left over after what she had eaten herself was enough. So this was the extra that she was given with Boaz at the mealtime. And even out of that, she gave what she had left to Naomi. Now remember, Naomi was her mother-in-law. That's got to be a true test of sharing, isn't it? It's got to be a true gift. You know, they say that Adam and Eve were so perfect in the Garden of Eden only because neither of them had a mother-in-law. But it's not who. It's the fact that we want, wherever we see the need, to want to bless it and meet it and do something to encourage others in it, because we have been supplied for the very reason that we can give supply to others in Jesus' name. Isn't that what Peter said to the beggar at the gate, beautiful, who said to him, "We want money, we want money, we want money." Peter says, "I haven't got money, but what I have got, what I've been resourced with in Jesus Christ, I give to you. Get up and walk." It's a miracle, isn't it, of God's grace, because God is chasing people down to bless them with his grace, and you and I are the means by which he chooses to do that, because we're the ones who've been blessed to be a blessing. And how do you do it? Well, you can do it, can't you not? Devotionally, you know, just to pray for somebody, just to mentor somebody, just to disciple somebody. Are you doing that? How long have you been a Christian, some of you? Have you ever discipled anybody, mentored somebody, got a line alongside somebody and opened up the scriptures to them and gave them the benefits of all that you've been able to glean yourself over the years because of God's goodness to you? It's a great privilege. The Lord needs his people blessed as his disciples to go out and bless others to become his disciples. Sometimes you do it devotionally. Sometimes you do it evangelistically. You just witness for the life of Christ in you. You're like the blind man in John 9. I don't know how Jesus turned my life around. The only thing I know for sure is that yesterday I couldn't see, but what a difference a day makes. Today I can see. And it's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with him. That's all I can tell you. Well, sometimes all you can tell is what somebody needs, isn't it? And you can do it practically, can't you? Be a blessing to somebody else. We have in the church here, you know, a great association with Communicare. What a practical way to demonstrate the blessings of God in our life. They're always looking for volunteers. Somebody to do a few hours shopping. Somebody to go and visit. Somebody to maybe cut a lawn. Whatever it is. Take somebody to hospital or doctor's appointment. There are practical things that we can do to show people that in Christ we've been blessed. And it's not for us to keep. It's for us to give away. Because we've got a giving God who could not give more than he gave in the sending and the suffering and the sacrificing of his own dear son, Jesus Christ, that we've celebrated this morning. Be practical. Be devotional. Be evangelistic. But remember, you've been blessed to be a blessing. And even when you're going through difficult times, remember what Paul says, that the God of all comfort who comforts us in our troubles is so that we can comfort those who now find themselves in trouble. So even when you think you're going through a bad day, it may end up being a great day for you, because through the experience that you are now going through, you're actually going to be the means of support and help and comfort and encouragement that somebody else needs. Amen. One other thing and we're through. And the last thing I want to just bring to your attention is this, that if you're blessed to be a blessing, which you are, then yet enjoy the Master's presence, okay? It's never a waste of time to spend time with Jesus, okay? Because he's going to teach you at a greater depth and to a greater degree than I ever could. Go out and reveal the Master's prophet. Look for the ways that you can do that as you share his provision, because in that process you're blessed to be a blessing through fulfilling the Master's pleasure. What does that mean? Doing his will. What we find Ruth doing here at the end of this story is what the Master wanted her to do. So we're told, she said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, Boaz even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. So there was no doubt in Ruth's mind that she understood what the Master was asking her to do. But then she got to undertaking it too, because we're told in verse 23... after Naomi has given her encouragement, so Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz until the harvests were finished. She fulfilled her Master's pleasure right to the end of the day. And then the day begins again, because we live one day at a time. And that is the day that can make a difference, not only to us, but through us to other people. Amen. Sometimes people say to me, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, I promise you this, if you become obedient to what you know the Lord's will is, and that's written in his word, anything that you don't understand, it will eventually become clear to you. God's not going to give you the next step that you're looking for until first you've stepped out and been obedient in the first step of what you know it is he wants you to do. And for some of you this morning, that might mean simply coming to Christ and saying, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Well, that's what he died for. Some of you thinking, well, I've never been baptized. Well, maybe the Lord is saying to you this morning, I want to bless you with baptism so that you can be a blessing. Maybe some of you are thinking about linking up with the fellowship here at Shirley. Well, come and ask about it. But if God is putting it on your heart, if God is touching you with something, you know, don't be looking for the step further on when he's just given you the next step to follow. Fulfill his pleasure. Do his will. Understanding ought to lead to undertaking. Because if our goal should be anything in life, it ought to be to please him who is so pleasing to us. You know, at the start of her day, Ruth was empty. And at the end of the day, she left full. The start of the day, Naomi was worrying. And through the blessing that Ruth was, she started worshipping. The start of the day, Naomi was still Mara. Bitter. Not better because of the disappointment that she'd gone through. By the end of the day, she had a new word in her vocabulary. Blessed is he in whose field you glean. Sometimes the Lord will work it the other way round. But a day makes a lot of difference when at the heart of your life is a desire to be blessed, to be a blessing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. And though we know these things, Father, for many of us is nothing new, we pray that it will be fresh. We pray, Lord, that these truths will be as if they were brand new, and that our life would be one that is completely just starting again, starting over, blessed to be a blessing. So, Lord, our prayer is this. Help us to have eyes that are open this week, so that we don't miss anybody that you've positioned us next to bless in your name. Give us the faith to believe that even if it costs us something to really meet the need of the situation, Lord, you're going to resource us for it. And Lord, give us the grace to be patient enough to even wait until the end of the day, having worked all the way through the day, to see the ultimate blessing that we want you to pour upon people's lives. Keep us faithful in the process. Keep us, Lord, lifted in the process. Lord, keep us going in the process so that we can press on and strain towards what is ahead to be blessed, to be a blessing. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. I hope you have a great week. And I hope that the opportunities for you to be that blessing will be great and will be mighty, and that you won't dismiss even the little things that you do, because even given a cup of cold water in Jesus' name can make a big difference in somebody else's day.